and gracious God, our loving Father, we come to you now in a spirit of unity, asking that you would speak to us today, revealing truth to us about yourself. We welcome you here, and we bless your holy name. Come and take the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and make them pleasing to you and glorifying to you. Allow all that is worldly, earthly, prideful, or vain, anything contrary to your spirit of love, to decrease in me and all of us here, in order that you may increase, and then our love for one another. Come, dear Lord, come, we pray. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I want to talk to you today about one of my favorite subjects, which is prayer. Now, prayer is a very broad topic, as many of you know, and oftentimes used for a worst-case scenario situation, such as the time when the captain said, while the ship was sinking, any one of you know how to pray? And one brave soul stepped forward and says, Captain, I know how to pray. And the captain said, good, you pray. We'll put on our life jackets. We're one short. So the kind of prayer I want to talk about is a little bit different than in that worst case scenario situation. I'd like to talk about the kind of prayer that you have every single day and the kind of prayer that I like to call person-to-person contact with the living God. As any answer that we have to prayer is really a result of that contact with God. So first I'm going to humbly tell you a little bit about how God used someone in my own life to pray for me and the ensuing results of that, and how God can use our own person-to-person contact with him and with others, not only to change our own hearts, but our culture and our world, to create a culture of love and unity and respect. And then we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to have a little chance to have contact with God and with each other. So, what is prayer? Well, according to the great Carmelite, St. Teresa of Avila, prayer is this. She says, it's nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends. I love that. Nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends. So that's why I like to refer to it as person-to-person contact with God. Well, how do we do it? Well, another great Carmelite, also named Teresa, but this one from Rousseau, France, said this. She said, I do like children who do not know how to read. I say very simply to God what I wish to say without composing beautiful sentences, and he always understands me. For me, prayer is an aspiration of the heart. It is a simple glance directed to heaven. It is a cry of gratitude and love in the midst of trial, as well as joy. Finally, it is something great, supernatural, which expands my soul and unites me to Jesus. So I want to tell you a little bit about my own faith story, or in churchy terms, that is called a testimony. What a testimony does is it gives glory to God and what he's done in our lives. And because it's God's doing, it increases our faith. Now, why does it increase our faith? Because we can see that if God can do it for somebody else, perhaps he could also do it for us, right? So I'm going to give testimony of what God has done in my own life to his glory. I moved to D.C., as April said, over 30 years ago. And when I did, I was very lonely. I had been born and raised in Texas and had never moved more than a block from where I was born. Well, my new husband said, well, let's go to D.C., but as we graduated, we got married in college. He said, let's go to D.C., we'll live there for 1 year, and then we'll move to the West Coast for 1 year, and then we'll move back to Texas. And I was, okay, you know, let's go. Well, several years later, okay, so I didn't know a soul. We lived in his uncle's basement apartment in an area that at the time was very much retired individuals. We worked very long, hard hours, and I knew no one. So we joined a very small church, and we were the only young married couple. Right? So I knew no one, we knew no other married couples, and I knew no one my own age, really. So we started a Bible study, but it was college-age students that came. So still, I was terribly lonely. So after a few years of this, on the outside, I looked fine. I looked very happy, but on the inside, I was very sad, and I was very lonely. And so I went back to a retreat in Texas. And I thought, okay, maybe somebody there will have a good word for me. Well, believe it or not, on this retreat, the woman who was the speaker spoke about her own loneliness and how God had met her in and through intentional and prayerful friendships that she had to form with other women, and how walls of division had come down and real deep and lasting bonds of love had been formed. Well, she even said, I feel that there are people here, particularly one person, who God wants to use to touch the lives of women. Well, I knew it wasn't me that God wanted to use, because to be honest, the truth is, I didn't really like women. It's terrible, I know, but I had grown up in a household full of girls, and I just had had drama, 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 and I was more of a kind of a cut-to-the-chase kind of gal. I was kind of nerdy, I wasn't girly girl, and I just like to hang out with guys, because what you see is what you get, and it was pretty easy, you know? Well, that had led to some loneliness in my life. Now here I was, and I was very lonely. But God had something else in mind for me. He knew what I needed, and he wanted me to form intentional person-to-person contact, not only with him, but with other women. Well, much to my great surprise, after the talk at the retreat, the speaker came up to me and she said, could I pray for you? Well, I reluctantly said, sure. And I didn't think it would work because I knew she'd gotten the wrong gal. It was like, sure, you can pray for me, but I know it's, you know, go right ahead. But I thought it was for every other person in the room that she was talking about, but certainly not for me. Well, as she prayed this very simple prayer, I felt a deep warming in my heart. And then my heart began to soften and it broke. And I don't want to cry, but honestly, it was the most amazing experience. And I got this deep love and respect for women. And thank goodness, because God gave me four daughters. So that happened afterwards. But after, when I got home, God began to open all kinds of doors for me. And before, I had found it difficult to make friendships with other women, but suddenly all these doors started opening and I started meeting all these great women and we started forming these friendships, and through that, the Georgetown Women's Bible Study was formed. And that's, of course, how I met April. And we have had several groups, as she said, hop off of that, even a men's group, which is pretty darn cool. And these men and women have formed intentional, personal, person-to-person relationships, not only with the living God, but with one another. And I can honestly say we have been through the thick and the thin of it together. And they feel more like a family, because I have no family up here. My family all lives in Texas, in London, Tennessee. But it has been like a family for me, and not just a team. So we meet, we drink coffee, and we study, and we pray. Now we pray not only for one another, but with one another. We don't talk about politics or things that can divide us. We talk about God, and we bless one another, and we share the spirit of unity and love. We've made lasting, loving friendships, person to person. Prayer with one another has built bridges over what I can tell you seem like impossible divides. Impossible divides. We even have two ex-wives. Anyway, pretty interesting. But this has taken time. And all of these women, I would say, are very, very busy women. And what we do is something, this ancient form, it's a lost ritual. And you know what it's called? It's called a cup of coffee. To sit down face to face with one another and actually make time for one another. I feel like we live in such a busy, busy, busy world. And we all have our iPhones, right? And we all are inundated with information. And you know, you can get addicted to that. And I'm sure you've all read about it. April is part of a group called Common Sense Media, and have all kinds of reports on it. But you can get addicted to every time that phone buzzes or dings, and it actually lets off an endorphin inside of you that makes you feel good. And so you can get so addicted to your phone that you forget how to be present, how to truly be present with other people. And so I want to challenge you here today to use that phone to call a friend and then put the the phone down, you know, and have a real present person-to-person link with other people, because that is what builds unity. That is what builds bridges to cover great divides. God has then began, through these intentional and prayerful relationships with these women, to show me my own stuff. And I didn't realize, but I had prejudices in my heart. And God used these prayerful women for us praying for one another to break my heart in new and beautiful ways, that God would show me what he loved and who he loved. And so he took me on the wildest ride of a faith journey that you can imagine. If you want to read about it, I wrote a book about it. It's called Metamorphosis of a Soul. But he literally took me from sort of one end of theology all the way to another end and everything in between. And it was all very prayerful, and it was beautiful. And through that, I became a Catholic. And the one of the things, the Catholic Church is amazing, and I have loved it. But when I first came into it, I wouldn't say that the Catholic culture was really known for small group fellowship or Bible study. Any Catholics here agree with me on that one? Would you say that Catholic culture is not known for getting together for small group Bible study or even personal Bible study? Well, in the last 7 years, things have changed, just to let you know. The Catholic culture is changing, and it's exciting, and it's amazing. And when I came into the Catholic Church, guess what I brought with me? Well, 20-something years of Bible study experience in teaching the Bible and my love for God's Word. And God just so happened to introduce me to a woman who was writing one of the first Catholic women Bible studies for women by women, which was pretty cool. And it's called Walking with Purpose. And through that intentional and beautiful and prayerful relationship, by God's grace and to his glory, I've had the opportunity now to start several of these Catholic women Bible studies in parishes all over the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. And we have hundreds and hundreds of women now praying and studying the Bible through this, which is amazing. And if you'd asked me when I was at that retreat in Texas so many years ago, if that's what I had in mind when I moved to D.C., I can assure you that was not anywhere on my radar screen. Well, not only do we have it here in this area, there are now 10,000 women nationwide who are doing Walking with Purpose. And that's all by God's doing. And it's because of, I believe, intentional, prayerful, one-on-one, person-to-person contact with God and then with others. That is how the love of God is spread. And we've done all kinds of research. And just so you know, and you probably know this, the 28 Coretta principle, you can put an announcement, you know, and you can send an email, but it's the intentional ask one person to another, would you come to this with me? Would you join me? Would you come and pray with me? That is what 80% of the time is gonna get somebody to something. So I want to encourage you to intentionally reach out. Reach out to even those that you think might not come to something. And I learned long ago that I didn't want to be the person that got in the way of doing God's business, right? So broadly, invite people to things. Invite them to church. Invite them to prayer groups. Even those you think you haven't got a prayer of them saying yes. Because guess what? That's what God is in the business of doing. Miracles. So I brought with me this love, and this has all started, and it's to God's, really to amazing God's grace and credit of how he's worked. And through these intentional relationships, I met a woman, and probably most of you in this room may know her. Her name is Heidi Scanlon. She's a bit of a legend. And through her, I was introduced to a group called Alpha. I don't know anybody here ever been involved in Alpha. Well, on the Alpha program, which is really a beautiful thing, it's really a proposal of the gospel and not an imposal of the gospel. I love those words. That's what Pope Francis says, that we should be proposals of the gospel, not impose it. Well, it's you come together. It's very non-threatening, and no question is too hostile or too stupid. And you have a meal, and you hear a talk, and then you just chat. And it's a wonderful thing. Well, there was a weekend away, and I was on this weekend away where you go and you hear about the Holy Spirit, and then there's time for prayer. And so one of the gals that was there, I didn't really know her, but she ended up coming to me for prayer. Now, this is just how God is, right? This is how God works. So as she came up to me, I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me and say, I want you to ask her if she's a follower of Jesus. And I have to tell you, that is not a question I normally ask people. I said, God, no thank you, that is so rude. And again, I get this nudge, ask her if she is a follower of Jesus. And I kind of like, okay. So I said to her, I said, well, here you are on the Alpha course. Do you mind before I pray if I ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? And she boldly said, oh, no, absolutely not. I'm not. And I said, oh, really? And she said, yeah, I believe all paths lead to God. And I'm just here seeking God. And I said, ah, okay, well, that's fantastic. I said, well, if you believe that, you know, all paths lead to God, and you're here learning about Jesus, then perhaps you believe that Jesus might be one of those paths, right? She said, well, yeah, I guess I do. And I said, okay, well then let's just pray that if God would like to get to know you through Jesus, that he would put a desire in your heart to get to know him through his word. Would that be okay? And she said, sure. Well, we prayed this very simple prayer. And I did not feel a thing. Like, I kept, you know, you expect when God answers a prayer, sometimes you're going to have a lightning bolt or something. Felt nothing. Nothing at all. And to be honest with you, I didn't even have great faith that he would answer the prayer. Okay, so just being really honest. So I prayed this very simple prayer, like, God, if you would like to get to know her through Jesus, please put a desire in her heart to read your holy word, the Bible, and discover you there. Well, she left. And that I thought, well, that's the end of that. I'm totally blue an opportunity to sit down and open scriptures and lead her right through, you know, right to the paths of heaven. Well, awesome. 3 days later, I get a phone call. And she said, I don't know what you prayed, but I have not been able to sleep. I bought a Bible, and I have read straight through their Gospels. And now I'm going on from there, and I feel like I have fallen in love, and I want to follow Jesus. What do I have to do? Well, to say the least, I was shocked, but thrilled. And I told her all she had to do was really open her heart, and invite him in. And she did. And then she joined the church, and she was baptized. But it taught me this great lesson about prayer, and it's this. God does not answer prayer because I prayed the prayer or because I felt anything. But God just uses prayer to change lives. Why? Because it's God who does the work. It's God who's in it. All we have to do is be a conduit of his love. But it must start with individuals having person-to-person contact with God and then with others. And then bridges of love are built, because where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in their midst. You know, it's wonderful, like I said, to pray for someone, but it's even better to pray with them. The love of God unites. If you will make intentional person-to-person contact with God, and then face-to-face contact with others, the power of his love can change us and the world around us. We can create a culture of love and unity. Another great Carmelite and doctor of the church, St. John of the Cross, stated this: where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. There does not have to be division among those who believe in God and unite to him and with one another for the purpose of blessing one another and through true friendship. If you get to know your neighbor, and you pray for them, and even better yet, with them, you can't hate them. I encourage you to start prayer groups if you are not in one already. And if you want help with that, see me afterwards, because I've got a great book for you. God is in the business of taking stony hearts like mine and giving us new hearts of flesh, as it says in his word in the book of Ezekiel. And if you allow him to use you, even you, not everybody else in the room, but you, use you to have person-to-person contact with him and then with others, he will open your heart and he will do amazing things. Now, here's the quiz. Do you remember the two names of the women on either side of you? Or all right, in a moment, I'm going to have us bow our heads, and I want for you to silently pray for them, specifically by name. And if you see them at other events over the next few days, perhaps that is the Holy Spirit giving you the nudge to get to know them in a real person-to-person way. Maybe have that cup of coffee together or pray together, or at the very least, a friendly face-to-face greeting, and perhaps exchange information, because you just never know the power of one prayer. So now, in the spirit of unity and love, and for those of you who are not touchy-feely, I promise it will only last about 30 seconds. I want for you to grab the hand of the people on either side of you. And I'd love for you to bow your heads and for us to pray. Dear Lord, we come to you just as we are, all in need of friendship with you and with others. I ask now that we could be a blessing to all those we come in contact with, especially, and now I want you to name the person on your left, and now the person on your right. We ask that you would bless them with every good and perfect gift that comes from you. Now, Lord, I ask that if we have stony hearts in any area of our life, that you would please change them to soft hearts that reflect your love. If we have fear, that you would bring your perfect peace, because your perfect love casts out all fear. If we have prejudices, that you would give us your eyes to see each person with your heart of love. If we have discouragement, that you would bring hope. Lord God, Heavenly King, give us more and more of you as we make time daily for person-to-person contact with you and with others, and for us to ask for anything less than all of you is really not worth the asking. So come, Lord, come now. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God bless you and thank you.